Mr. Buffery, Reel 6. We were talking about the, the last thing was the compass calibration and correction.
Well, one of my tasks as navigator showman, other than those that you already mentioned, is one that I've forgotten, and I might come back to it later on. But another one was the cleaning of the binnacle cap. This was a brass protective weatherproof cap, which the navigator is generally expected it to be cleaned with brass, with some form of brass cleaner, because the action of seawater or the salt on the brass causes it to corrode, and if it doesn't be kept clean, every so often it just goes a dirty green. So that was one of my tasks, to do that.
Now, the next thing, I think, shortly after that, is you were doing some more support and escort duties around the north of Scotland, and unless there's anything else, the next really big incident is when the ship was...
The Navy caught a German submarine with a snorkel, and we were one of the ships that were detailed off, possibly in October. Anyway, the weather was quite good, so we thought it was early, in early autumn. And around the Camptown Bay area, we did some trials, snorkel trials, to see. I'm not quite sure what the object of the exercise was, but they were using this submarine to determine how effective this snorkel was with respect to keeping the security of the submarine. And we were up there all for about a week or 10 days at Campbelltown, there was, on the North Kintyre.
Is this the submarine that broke away at one point and
no,
when it was on tow?
No, that was another one, wasn't it? That was earlier. Yeah, this one was one that they captured. And I've got an idea it was captured by a Canadian Halifax that refused to let go, as it were. Anyway, they surrendered, I think, and this submarine had a snorkel fitted, and I don't think they're able to know that, but do you know what a snorkel is?
If you just explain for them, though, just...
Well, this was a periscope-type protrusion, which is also capable of allowing air to be sucked in from the atmosphere. So somehow you could seal it off and bring the periscope back within the casing. So when you were, for example, coming up at night for engine charging, a battery charging rather, the snorkel could be used to breathe, so that you could just cruise slightly, submerged, but a breathing tube allowing a change of atmosphere.
And what about this other U-boat incident? That was a captured U-boat that was under tow, and do you remember that at all?
Yeah,
I don't know when
that.
What exactly happened?
Well, I think we were told that there was a submarine loose in the Minch. You know where the Minch is? Oh, well, between the, up in Scotland, between the inner Hebrides and the outer Hebrides, there's a channel called the Minch, and it virtually runs up from the Irish Sea right up past the Orkney and Shetlands. But I think the channel itself actually stops at Cape Roth. So we were detailed to go up there into this stretch of water. I suppose it's about 30, 40 miles wide and about 150 miles in, and find this submarine. and I think we were expected to take it in tow. But
it had been previously captured, hadn't it?
It had, yes, yes. I think in the intervening years, people put names to that submarine, but I'm not sure if that was the right one.
And what could you see and what happened?
Only a submarine. We didn't. Initially, somebody told us it was a German, we wouldn't have known. I don't think we got a tow on it. The weather wasn't kind enough to enable it there to do it. And I'm not sure what happened about that, whether tug subsequently came up and took it in tow, or whether they actually bombarded it and sank it. But we didn't. I don't think we were very effective.
Now then, on the anti-submarine operations, again off the north of Scotland, and you went back, they'd been there a couple of times, and they went back there on the 6th of December. This is when the Bullen was sunk. Now,
this was a convoy that was destined for Russia, and we'd come, I think we'd left Liverpool, and gone up to Greenock. No, we didn't anchor. We anchored in the stream. Yes. And joined this convoy, which went up through the Minch again, and Hesperus was the group leader, and Goodall was there, and Lockinch. Yes. And we got, as far as I know, almost abreast of Cape Roth when we were hit by something, some explosion.
Now, where were you when it?
Well, this was about 20 minutes to 10 in the morning, and I was on the morning watch, that being from the 8 to 12 watch.
So you were in the...
forenoon watch. I was in the Huffdorf cabin, yes.
And what do you remember of what happened? It was a torpedo, wasn't it? Not a mine, or are you not sure?
I don't think that's clear, quite honestly. The records might say, or try to make it clear, but I don't know if that was actually clear. Anyway, the ship was subjected to an explosion in midships. When we all took to damage limitation exercise.
Now, what was that?
Well, the damage limitation was to stop the ship being subjected to, to filling up with water. By probably sorting out what the problem was with the water was getting in, and then you have some mattresses and things of that sort that that were provided for that.
Now, would you go on that? Would you stay back? You'd stay on the Huffdorf?
No, I was on the Huffdorf. Once the Huffdorf, I'm not sure what the order was, but I think it was action stations. My action station was with the navigating officer, but in fact, before I got around to that, I got waylaid by the petty officer telegraphist and told to help another chap rig up an aerial, since the aerials of the ship had been, I think it must have been blown away or snapped.
Now, how did you do that?
Well, the chap that I was helping was had some wire in his hands. He'd been given it by a petty officer, I suppose. And he attached it to one end, the back end of the bridge, to an insulator. And we had to reel it out to the after end of the ship, where there was another point which was clear of the ship on the jack staff in the bank. And that was an action that we took after the explosion.
And was that difficult, I mean, to do that?
It seemed to work quite well, yes. Things were stable, quite stable.
What damage had been done to the ship that you could see?
Couldn't see any. I don't remember seeing anything, any damage at all. So it must have been well below the waterline. And all that halfway down.
And what next then? You were helping doing this, and the ship was still stable. Yeah. Didn't seem to be sinking to you then?
Not to me, no. But then the order came through to abandon the ship. And that wasn't a tannoy, that was an officer on the bridge. And
would that be Parrish or?
Well, it would be Parrish, skipper, but it would be relayed by one or two other officers, you see, or petty officers. And so there were about five of us at that point in that area of the Carly float, which was about halfway between the bridge structure and the stern on a sloping tray and secured there by ropes. Now, somebody got hold of a knife and cut most of the securings except one. And I think that what was actually happening is that this one that hadn't been cut was a long rope which was attached to the ship, so that when it was launched it didn't float away. And this is all very vague, but I remember this cutting these ropes, and then we just dived into the water. Now it must have been, I suppose it must have been sinking, because the level of that deck is quite high, you know, something like 10 or 15 feet above the water. And I remember going into the water, and it wasn't a dive, it was just a jump.
So it was clearly sinking then?
So it clearly had been sinking whilst we had been doing what we were doing.
Now you got the Carly float into the water and then jumped in after it, essentially. Yeah. Now how long had that taken since the hit, would you say? Or you don't really know?
I wouldn't like to say, but I would gather that to do what we did and then, you know, the general messing about with the Carly float at the school after three quarters of an hour.
Now, what was the water like? I mean, how cold? This is early December off North Scotland. How cold was it?
Well, it was very cold. I mean, the atmosphere was cold. The water was cold. But strangely enough, having dived into the water and come up, we were all covered with oil. So there must have been a large quantity of oil dispersed from the tank or from the engine. Or something of that sort, sent a feed pipe, probably. So, when I got into the Carly float, there were at least six others. Now, who they were and what and where they came from, I don't know, because they were all covered with oil and I didn't recognise anybody. So, there were about six or eight of us, I suppose, in this Carly float.
Now, you were still attached to the ship?
Well,
by the one lanyard order.
Well, I was going to come to this. Somebody, a member, pointed out that it had to be cut. This is part of the abandoned ship routine, that somebody knew what the routine was. So this last remaining rope was cut before the ship started to sink. Otherwise, we'd have pulled down with it.
And so you drifted away?
Well, what we actually did was to push paddle away a bit, and then somebody said, well, we better start keeping warm. So he advised that we did this sort of thing, you see.
Swinging your arms from side to side. Exercise.
Excellent, yeah. And swinging our arms together. And I can remember that whole time I was on that float from the beginning, and that's all we ever did.
Did it work?
Yes, I must have done, because I didn't suffer any real
hypothermia.
Mm. Although I was in subsequently, I was in on the island of Jersey, a hospital ship.
So you're doing these exercises. What could you see as the ship went down, and the scene generally?
Well, I remember the fore part of the ship was up in the air, and the middle bit was under the water, and it seemed to be like that for some time. But what was actually going on, I've got no recollection.
Were there many men in sight in the water?
No, I don't remember seeing many people in the sight.
Did you see the captain at all in the water? Because he's supposed to have done this, you know, rather brave act of handing things, you know, to...
Yes.
Trying to help people.
Yeah.
But you didn't see him.
I didn't see him, no.
And you don't know who was in the Carly float with you, because covered in oil.
The only thing is that when we got to the Hesperus...
Well, hang on. How long were you in the water, would you say?
I think about 4 hours. Roughly.
Were you singing? Some of the Carly floats, people in the water were singing. Did any of your lot sing?
Well, I can't remember them singing. I don't remember them singing. I just remember them doing the warming exercises. Yes. Yes.
Oh, I should have asked, what were you wearing?
What I normally wore on the ship was a pair of trousers, which were tweed, serge. A pair of navy shoes, I suppose. Navy shirt, which was a sort of crew neck shirt, and a woolen turtleneck jumper or jersey. That was my normal wear.
And you didn't have a life belt with you?
Time, I suppose we must have put our life belt, yes. Put our life belts on when they said abandon ship.
Where would they be to pick up?
Well, we had our own.
You carried it with you?
Yeah, oh yes. And what would have happened there? I was on the watch, so I wasn't allowed to go down into the mess deck again. So I must have taken it with me. That's it's one of those things that we did as a routine of war lifeboats. I mean, let's say.
There, you were just on the doing your this exercise, but swinging your arms, trying to keep warm, and you couldn't see much. Did you actually see the ship go down, or...?
I think I did see the ship go down, yes. Yeah. Didn't see any other crew. I don't think there was another explosion. I watched the ship sink. The last thing I remember was the bows going down.
How did you feel? I mean, were you nervous or scared?
Not really, not particularly.
Now, why weren't you scared? I mean, it's quite a scary thing, you know. Or was it just you were numb, or how did you feel? What do you know?
Quite calm. I often thought about that, quite honestly. It didn't seem very much. One of those things, I suppose. One had been subjected to the bombing in London, and... you know, various other things, gunfire, and seeing other ships go down, I suppose it was more or less sort of took it as a matter of course.
Did you start to worry when you weren't picked up? Because it took a while to pick, considering you were in quite close to other ships, it took quite a while to be rescued, didn't it?
Well, I think somebody must have said they were looking for a submarine, so... it may have been that was very well, so, you know, calming people down that something was being done, you see, whether it was being done or not, it didn't matter.
Now, how were you picked up? I mean, what's the thing? I mean, you're in there, and nothing much happened while you're in the car, except these exercises, and...
Yes. What actually happened, I think what happened was that we must have been... 200-300 yards away from the ship at that time. However, we got there. I don't know whether we paddled. I think that we had paddled, or whether we hadn't paddled. And of course, the water was covered with oil. But when then suddenly the Hesperus was there with a net down the side, hanging on the side. And I remember a familiar voice of the navigating officer saying, "Well, you go up first." Now, I didn't know if he was on the kind of float or whether he came alongside us independently. And so I went up first.
Did you find it difficult to climb the net? I mean, had your hands frozen up at all, or were you?
I don't remember if they have finding it difficult, but I was probably cold anyway, not shivering. And it might be that perhaps the sea deck isn't all that high on the Hesperus. You know, they look.
And that was when Stanley was with you,
yeah,
and he presumably had he been in the float with you all the time then?
I don't know. I only recognised him from his voice. I didn't recognise him by luck, by sight.
And what happened when they got you aboard?
Well, he gave us some clothes.
Did they take you below decks first or?
No, it took us into an upper deck mess room. And no, I don't think they gave clothes. They gave me a blanket and laid me on a form. You know, the form you have with the factory table, a long plastic coloured form. Now I'm not sure. I was given some clothes by somebody on that mess deck, because mine were all covered with oil, so they might have stripped us and give us some clothes to put on.
What about a bath or shower?
Well, I'm going to come to that.
Sorry.
I did get a shower. I got a bath, but I think it wasn't until we were put on the Isle of Jersey. So, if we were at Cape Roth, where I think we were, the Isle of Jersey was actually in the Penguin Firth, in the Scapa Firth. So that's going to be a few hours.
Well, I mean, were you given any rum or a soup or anything to drink?
I don't think so. I don't remember.
Were you satisfied with that? I mean, did they treat you well, would you say?
Well, I thought so, yeah. There's certainly, if you pick up survivors, there's certain things that need to be done, aren't there? First of all, you've got to get them warm, or keep them warm. And then, and attend to any injuries. And that's difficult to find the injury, isn't it, if it's covered with a window or something like that.
Were many of the men rescued in a worse state than yourself, or noticeably worse state than yourself, would you say?
I don't know. Those that I met afterwards, we were taken to the Isle of Jersey, and which was equipped as a hospital ship, and I remember getting a bath there. And it was a bath of paraffin, I think, to get rid of the oil. And then a hot bath. So that must have been during the late afternoon, I thought. Then I was put to bed. Well, possibly had something to eat, I don't remember it. But I never saw anybody else apart from the nurse that I remember. But the next thing was that we were in Aberdeen, and we were taken to a hospital, which is to the west of Aberdeen, I think, where there were quite a few of us and we were in hospital gear, blue jacket trousers with red ties.
Did you have any after effects? You know, in the sense of, did it cause you any problems? What had happened? Because some.
Only that kept oozing off a week or months after.
What, the oil?
Yeah, it got in the pores. And the thing that I've always been very pleased about is that for some reason I must have drunk some oil. I must not have. If you get completely submerged in it, you're bound to take some oil through either your nostrils or opening your mouth. And of course, it was in your eyes and in your ears. But I don't remember any side effects. So that was the 6th of December, wasn't it? And I suppose. We were given survivor's leave from that hospital.
So that'd still be in December?
That would still be in December. I think I got home about 4 or 5 days before Christmas, so that must have been, say, about 20th of December. That was 14 days later, yeah.
And you were still oozing oil coming out of your pores?
Well, I didn't notice it until I went in the bath. Whenever I had a bath, there was a great thick black line around it, you see? And it took a lot of getting it rid of, too.
And how were you in yourself? It hadn't
been all right, no.
No big effect, as far as you were concerned?
No.
Well, what about when you came back from survivor's leave? Where did you report to?
Well, I've got no pay book, I've got no uniform, no kit bag, no hammock, and no tinny box, the little thing you carry with your personal things around. So I was just standing there in my blue hospital uniform, which probably said a lot. But I think I've been given a travel warrant to go to Chatham, you see. I remember it took us 14 hours to get down from Aberdeen to London. But what, think about it, what probably happened was that we were given a railway warrant to travel down to barracks at Chatham to be kitted out and to undertake a medical. And in that time, we were also issued with a new uniform kit bag, the normal 3 or 4 uniforms, and other things that we needed, and probably paying. And then given a 14-day or 10-day survivor's leave.